Welcome to the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast, a show designed for brand new sales reps working in the world of tech sales. I'm your host, Neil Buyan, and I'm going to be taking you on a journey on the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast. Did you know that you can watch this show live with the guests on YouTube? This show is available on YouTube at happyselling.io. Hello, listeners, watchers, fans, and subscribers of the SDR Disco Call show. My name is Neil Buyan, and I'm your host with the most. If you've stumbled across this episode and you're wondering, what the hell is this all about? So we live in the world of tech sales, I think startups and core scale-ups. And what we like to do is focus on a position called business development or sales development. So typically in the world of sales, we're reaching out to prospects, we're trying to pique their interest, and we're trying to get them into our solutions. And what I like to do is find really cool and interesting people in this profession to learn more about their story. How did they get into this thing to help inspire others, or perhaps people that are already in the role, to get a bit of perspective? And I love doing this each week with new people. If you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, make sure that you give us a rating and share this episode with anybody that you think could benefit from it. And equally, if you're on my YouTube gang, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. So with the guests that we've had today, I'm really excited because big shouts out to Kendall. I went to Kendall a few weeks back and I said, Kendall, is there anybody that you could recommend coming on the show? She's like, I got a guy. And this guy has come and joined us today, and I'm really excited because, you'll find out in a minute. But guest, could you please introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do? And what do they do? And where are you based in the world?
Yeah. Hey, Neil. Great to be on the show. Long time podcast listener. First time being on a podcast. Woo. So appreciate that. Yeah. So I'm Joel. I am based in Tel Aviv in Israel, but originally from the north of England, Hull. So shout out to anyone that can point to that on a map. I'm on the biz dev team here at Riverside for almost 3 years. And Riverside is, we're actually recording on our Riverside now, which is great. So yeah, great plug for Riverside in the studio. Shout out to Kendall for, I think she designed the studio, and everybody else that designed the studio. I apologize if I forgot anyone that actually had a hand in designing the studio. And so Riverside is a online remote recording platform. So just like we are now, me and Neil are having this conversation. Neil is located in London, I'm in Tel Aviv, and we can have this conversation in very high quality without worrying about our internet connection. But you can also do video interviews, webinars, tutorials, learning content, any other kind of content you want. It's very simple, really easy to use. That is Riverside. Come check us out, riverside.fm.
And yeah, Joel is right. Again, shouts out to Kendall for like helping us bring this all together. And you're right. So guests, listeners, watchers. So Riverside is the platform that I've been recording on for the past few years. And the reason why you get all the nice, lovely quality and content, I'll be making sure that I put in my referral link in the show notes as well. So if you want to claim a couple of free hours and test it out, go for it. All right, shameless plug done. But Joel, again, it's really great to have you on the show, especially somebody who works in sales for a piece of tech that I love. And you're based out in Tel Aviv. So again, lovely to have you on board. And a question that I like to ask all my guests, Joel, especially a guy from Hull or an original Hully Gully. Outside of sales, what do you like to get up to? What's your hobbies, passions, and interests, Joel?
Well, I have 3 children at home, married as well. A shout out to my lovely wife, Rebecca. Hey. So they take up a lot of my time, but good time. Love, like, you know, hanging out with them. My son's almost 8. He loves playing football, so we play football like endlessly. He had a family. I'm very much into gaming at the moment. Yeah, playing Assassin's Creed. Ooh. So I love a bit of game. When I get time, which is usually like 1 o'clock in the morning, because once you got everything else done, you finish the sales call, you sat with the family, had dinner, and you got to find that, especially as a dad of a young family, finding that time to like kind of just release and relax. I should go to sleep, but you know, just one more hour, as they always say. And obviously, like, an avid podcast listener, lots of, not just being a Riverside, again, shameless plug, be a big podcast listener, kind of a lot of different various podcasts to listen to. Yeah, those kind of my, you know, nothing too crazy.
Awesome. I love that. So from one sales dad to another, salute and shouts to the missus. And yeah, Assassin's Creed, that that brings back some memories. I remember I used to love playing, again, I was a gamer back in the day. I used to love my PlayStation, but I used to play a bit of Assassin's Creed, and I think I've actually still got it. And I was playing it a few months ago with my little boy. But thank you so much for sharing. So what we like to do at this part of the show is go to our guest's LinkedIn profile to get a little bit of an insight into their journey. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see this out. But again, for our listeners on the podcast and for our YouTube watchers, we'll always be putting our guests' LinkedIn profiles in the URL. So should you want to connect to pick Joel's brain on topics we've discussed today, or perhaps you want to learn a little bit more about Riverside, I think he'd be happy to have a chat with you. But he shares some really great content out there. And funny enough, we actually did meet in London. I think it was earlier this year at the podcast show in London as well, which was awesome. So Joel, a question that I love to ask all of my guests, and the reason that we're here, if we can go way back in the day, like with education, being a student representative at Liverpool Johns Moore Construction, tell us, like, how did your guy go from there to then ending up in textiles? What's your story, sir?
Okay, yeah. So my story, like you say, I was at Liverpool John Moores University. I studied construction management, basically because I saw, like, at that time, kind of the late 2000s, which is a long time ago now.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it makes you feel old. So yeah, went into construction management, saw, like, the construction industry booming. And then while I was at university, you know, we had the market crash of 2008. Mm-hmm. Construction got much harder, which was a lot harder to come by. But I kind of made my way, went back home. I found a job with the local authority. And then kind of I was bouncing. But like I went to another place and I was let go from there, made redundant. Mm-hmm. Another construction company because, you know, times were tough. It wasn't easy, especially in the construction industry. But then I actually fell into a job working with Superyachts, which is, yeah, pretty cool people. So unfortunately, I wasn't on the yachts itself, but what I was doing was supplying them with provisions. So all their groceries, all their high quality meat, fish, even like little things like tomato ketchup, salt and pepper. Mm. When you charter a yacht, as I'm sure you know, successful podcast host Neil, you're always chartering yachts.
I'm around the world. I'm on the seven seas.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you're out at sea, you don't have time to get off and go, you know, go shopping. So they would call us. And I lived on the French Riviera for 6 months. So I was going, I was in Monaco, Antibes, Cannes, Saint-Tropez. So all these like fancy places, you're visiting all these yachts. And then I was back in England doing that. I'm Jewish. That was always at the forefront of my mind about moving to Israel. My brother had recently moved. He's my only brother, and it's something I wanted to be close to him. And so it was after I got back from the working on the yacht. So I was in England for a year or so, and I was like, "There's nothing. Not nothing for me in England, but I should move to Israel, be in the homeland." And honestly, like I was trying to find a wife, and long story short, I moved to Israel, and within about 3 weeks, I met my wife.
Oh wow!
So it was, you know, we say in Hebrew besharet, which is soulmate, and like we always talk about like how, you know, we were soulmates. It was meant to be. She's from Montreal originally, and she moved via New York. And then, so it must, you know, someone must have been looking after us.
Match made by heaven, dude. Match made in
heaven. Yeah, literally, like the, you know, and it all worked out. And so here we are almost 10 years, you know, married 10 years later. Three beautiful children at home.
Love that.
Yeah. So, and
if we can pause here, because there's some things I'd love to unpack, because that is quite a cool journey that you went on. So, you know, like originally UK, working for local authority, also working within construction. And then as you alluded to, you know, the financial crash and where the world was going. Because I had a few friends from up north in Hull. And I remember up in the north of the UK, like prospects for jobs, a lot of things were changing. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of uncertainty. And I saw this with a few mates that either worked in mills, etc., and around the steel places and everything like that. And as a young man, like coming out of education and seeing the prospects of the world, like what the hell's going on? I wanted to know, like, where was your mindset at as to, like, the future and, like, kind of, like, where things were going? Like, how were you dealing with that, Joel?
It was very tough. Like, I was, like, it was real struggle to, like, thankfully I, you know, I didn't have to put food on the table. I was living at home. Mm. So I didn't have that, but I was just thinking, like, where am I, like, what are my prospects? Like, we'll spend all this money on a degree because they said, you know, people said, go to university, get a degree, you'll find a job. And then you go out into the world and it's like, well, what's your experience? I don't have any experience, but I've got a degree. It's like, well, you can't, you know.
You need any experience. Yeah, it's that, right? You know,
experience through that cycle. Yeah. But also I found, especially with my degree, they taught you all the technical stuff, but they didn't give you weren't given any practical experience.
Mm.
It's same with and I find, you know, a lot of my friends with that do, you know, even if you do a more technical degree, they don't teach you anything, how things actually work.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of the same now in the, you know, going into the workplace, going into sales tech or tech in general, or even any kind of, nobody teaches you, you know, kind of office politics or how to, you know, navigate, like, negotiating for a salary raise. Mm. Nobody tells you this is what you should say, you shouldn't say, how you should, you know, act. You're kind of thrown in
and the deep
expect to get on with it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just like, and I feel like a lot of people sink and some people just tread water.
Yeah.
And you just kind of live with it. So like, yeah, back then it was very tough and it's, but things always work out. I think if I'm a big positive mind, mindset and putting positivity out into the world, like think positive thoughts.
Love fun.
And they will happen. Yeah. Doesn't always happen, but like I think you've got to try. If you don't try, you know, nothing will happen.
100%. And thank you so much for sharing that. So there's quite a few things I can kind of relate to. And obviously I didn't have the experience of, so like I was a guy that didn't go to, you know, well, I got kicked out of college twice, didn't go for university. And I'd always been more happy working and having hands-on stuff. But to your point, like within education, not having, like, how do you budget your money, like how do you pay your bills, how do you negotiate, what is office decorum, what is business acumen, all that sort of stuff. And I was lucky to learn it, like when I worked in local authority myself, that's when I learned how to write business correspondence and how to deal with customers and claimants and all of that stuff. That was kind of like my learning. But also, like, you know, trying to figure out, like, where are we going to go, what was going to kind of happen as well. And that's kind of like one of the reasons we did this show, because we have a lot of people may come have graduated and then they come out into tech sales as a first job and they have no insights into this sort of stuff. So that's kind of like why we've done this show, to like show what things to learn, what things you can pick up and everything like that. So again, to hear it from somebody that's been through the education system, come out and got into the real world. And then I'm also interested to know, like, super yachts, right? So as you said, like, you're providing like the food and like all the condiments and everything for these super cool yachts and perhaps these really rich people, but you're going to the French Riviera, you're like near Monaco and stuff like that. As a young man that was out and seeing those sort of places, like, what was your perception of the world then? Because obviously we've gone through financial crash into a very wealthy area, dude. Like how, what was that life and perspective like for you?
Yeah, it was always like, people said, you know, it was in the news, like global financial crash. Mm. And you'd go and see these people on the yachts and it's like, is it really global, or is it like global? You know, there's global and there's like some people that are kind of immune to everything. So it was just like, but it was, you go like drive into the harbor of Monaco and you were just, it always, it kind of took me back. Like every time I drive in, like almost every day, and you see, and the yachts get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's like the even bigger ones that can't even get into the harbor.
The harbor, yeah.
And so, yeah, and you're just like, this is just, it's an unprecedented like level of wealth. And it was just like, it blows your mind. It really does. And it's the ultimate status symbol. It's, you know, you've got to be, lots of people have got a jet, like jets, and jet you can kind of park away.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got a yacht, like you're really wealthy. Like
you're balling, you know, you've got the cash, you're sorted.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing you said, like, you know, like financial crisis and is it really global again? So we're not going to get into conspiracy theories here or anything like that, but it is kind of like a mind, going back to your positive mindset, so like a mindset thing that I've always like, this, the one that I've kind of coined, is a positive mentality brings positive results into reality. So I've always had that type of thing of like, whatever's happening, But similar to like recent years where we've had, you know, I've gone through that financial crash, we've gone through the pandemic and everything like that. And what I've normally seen is that that's kind of when the world goes nuts and then everybody's focused on these big problems like that. And I think working remotely and working at home, I was just kind of like, well, I can't really change what's happening in the world, but I can kind of control like how I react. So I decided to launch a podcast and that really worked out well. And when I've seen stuff in recent years with fears of a recession and a crash again, I'm just like, you know what? Keep your head down, look at things which can still work in that world and see how that can benefit you. So for me, it's like being online sales training and coaching. You can do this shit remotely, right? And obviously doing podcasts remotely. That's why I love using Riverside. Riverside actually helped me through the pandemic because it gave me a connection with people and I could talk to people like this when, you know, I was kind of like stuck at home. But yeah, I think, you know, whatever's happening around in the world, I think the people that get paid or either survive it are doing things even though the world's still going through sort of madness. So anyway, I digress. But as you said, coming back to the UK, speaking with your brother and then thinking about going back home to Israel and heading out there and meeting your beautiful wife and like setting up a life and everything like that. I can also see like on your LinkedIn profile, like Redwood Sport International Sports, and you had quite a stint there. So what was going on at Redwood and what was that life all about?
Yeah. So yes, I worked at Redwood. Redwood's a good company. Seller's a good company. And they do football and cricket statistics. And so I was in the cricket department. And I was there for a long time. So I was watching cricket all day, every day. Shout out to the guys that are still there. Yeah, it kind of got to a point where I was very stagnant. I was doing very similar things every day. And I needed a change. You know, obviously living in Tel Aviv, you know, there's the big tech sector here. So it's like, okay, let's get into tech. My wife works in tech. All my friends are in tech.
Oh.
It seems like a cool, you know, cool thing to work in. But, you know, kind of how to get into tech. And a few people said, best way to get into tech, start in sales. It's like sales, but like, I'm not the Wolf of Wall Street. You know, I'm not like a
Jordan Belfort.
Yeah, Jordan Belfort, you know, yeah, like, yeah, thank you. His name escaped me. But the kind of sleazy selling, like, you know, suited and booted, selling stocks to people that don't really understand it. I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I spoke to a few people and I was like kind of, you know, getting a little bit more intrigued about it. So I started applying very like lightly, you know, applying for jobs. And I actually, on the way here, I was actually thinking about this conversation. And I was very nervous about changing careers. Is not easy to do for anybody, you know, whatever stage of life. But I had, you know, young kids at home, and I would always kind of stop. And this is kind of where I tried to bring the positive mindset in.
Yeah.
And it's like before I would always stop myself applying for a job because I'd be like, well, what happens if I get the job? And it was like, but I haven't even applied for it yet. So it's like, why don't you apply for it and see what happens? But I was like, but wait, what happens if I get it and then I'm not very good at it and I get fired and I can't put food on the table? But I haven't even gone into it yet. So like, what was stopping me? And ultimately, like, I was like, whatever happens, like I have a support system around, you know, I have my parents, you know, my parents came to Israel also like not long after I did. So like I had a support, you know, good group of friends and a community around me. And I was like, you know, whatever happens, we'll be okay. Things are, you know, and also a big believer in, you know, things happen for a reason.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
So, okay. So apply. So I actually had a chat with somebody and I said to him like, oh, I feel like, you know, going into like sales development or business development is like, It's a step down. It's like you're starting at the bottom of the rung. And he's like, no, it's like just another, it's just a different step on a different set of ladders.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, it's like, don't like think of it as like you're going down. Like think of it as like maybe you are taking a step down, but you're taking a step down to go further up the ladder. And it's like, oh, you know, it makes sense. And it kind of like, it just kind of, it resonated with me and it made a switch in my mind. And I was able to kind of, you know, go more aggressively. And I actually spoke to, and the reason I got to Riverside I know that was your original question.
Yeah.
Kind of like we kind of went on the
meandering,
the mountain path, meandering through. I actually, a friend of mine who'd worked with actually our CRO here at Riverside, and she suggested, and also my director of business development, and she suggested, this is a podcasting platform. I know you're interested in that kind of stuff. You should apply. And so I applied, and yeah, here we are almost 3 years later at Riverside. Yeah, still loving it.
Awesome, dude. So there's so many things. Again, you'll notice me as a host. I'd love to unpack it.
Yeah.
And just remembering all those little peaks that we've gone through the mountain to kind of get to top to where you are. So like kind of going back a little bit, like with Redwood, you said something really interesting where, you know, it was getting a bit stagnant. Like great company, great business, still is. But you was kind of doing the same thing day in, day out. And obviously before we get into like my friends and my partner was working in tech, I feel, you know, I've worked with a lot of people or coached some people where they were in a like different industry or a different role. And they're feeling that element of stagnation. And some people may feel stuck, like, well, this is it. This is what I have to do. Or some people are like, I need to make a change. And obviously there were some nerves with yourself about applying and, you know, limiting beliefs of, can I actually do this? But I haven't even applied. But with that stagnation piece, like, what was like the variables happening in life? And like, how was that thought bubbling? And what did it take? What was kind of the catalyst to think, I need to do something about this for yourself, John?
I think the big catalyst was after Corona. It was just like, I think, yeah, I just need to like, I need to make a change for myself and for my family. And I would just kind of like, sometimes I'd just kind of take a step back and be like, okay, well, where am I going? When am I going to be in a year's time? Where am I going to be in, you know, 3 years time or 5 years time? And, you know, as good as, you know, Redwood was, it was very kind of flat structure. It was like, everything was, you know, kind of an older company, or well-established company, I should say, rather than old.
Yeah.
And it was just like, no, I wasn't learning anything new. I wasn't expanding and kind of being tested. And it was just time. It was time for a change. I was there 7 years, you know, as I say, a year is a long time in politics, but you know, 7 years is a long time for anything.
It's a long stretch, yeah.
And so it was like, I think it was mainly Corona that kind of accelerated it. And they understood that also, you know, left on, you know, really good terms and still on good terms with everybody there. You know, that's also really important. I think no one teaches you how to, you know, not to burn bridges, not that you should be burning bridges, but like that kind of, yeah, how to leave amicably. So many things, I think, in life, you have to experience to be able to know how to do it. Nobody's going to teach you, or nobody can teach you how to do, you know, certain things. Yeah.
100%. And I appreciate you sharing that. So like, you know, the catalyst was like, you know, the pandemic, Corona, and then, you know, it happened with a lot of us, like a lot of people I've either worked with, friends, family, myself included, of like, you kind of got a bit of perspective because there was this fear that the world was ending to an extent. And it's like kind of like a wake up call and a reality check. Like what some people are like, what am I doing with my life? Or where is my life going? Like for me back then it was, you know, father to my boy Blake. I was in the midst of like running my business, but it just wasn't going the way that I wanted to. And I realized I had to turn remote. And I was just like, yeah, so where is this thing going? So the catalyst for me was relaunching my company, the branding, the look, launching a podcast, being more online. And kind of like how Riverside got into me was Gary Vaynerchuk is somebody I look up to and I love his content. And he kind of said back then, he said, you need to stop treating your business like a regular business as just services, like you're a shop and you're just selling your services and your products. He said, you need to position your company as like a media company. You need to create content. And then when I heard Gary Vaynerchuk was using Riverside, I was like, oh, what's that? So, you know, like coming into that side, but you know, asking yourself the question, where do you want to go? But I think you put a really good point of, you know, not burning your bridges. Because sometimes, you know, leaving a company, especially when you've been for like 7 years, you have an element of loyalty, you've built relationships, you may have friends and everything like that. And like where I've seen people like move when they're unhappy in a place and they want to move because they're not growing, they're not learning. I'm just like, you never know when you may bump into those people again or may need help from them. So don't burn those bridges 100%, right? Always try to leave on amicable terms. Even if it hasn't been an amicable ending, even at that point, at least leave it on a point where nobody can say, well, that person was, you know, quite difficult, etc. But coming to, you know, that phase of your friends are working in tech, your partner's working in tech, and also I've got to give shouts out to, like, in Israel with tech. Because I remember when I started my tech sales career, like back in 2012, and I was working with my account executives, like when we had leads coming in from Israel, like in EMEA, I'd never worked with anybody from Israel before. So I had no understanding as to like the culture, how they do business and everything like that. And I remember Brendan, my AE, said, oh, we've got a lead from Israel. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? He's like, Neil, they know their tech. They can build their tech. They're really super smart and all of this. And the way that you, and like when we had calls with people from Israel and they were saying things, so I didn't understand, you know, when there was banter or jokes or if somebody was being serious, and he was like coaching me. And he says, you know, they really have to trust you. You know, they may scrutinize certain things. They said, no, they could take our tech and make it better, you know? So I had a lot of respect and I had a lot of curiosity. But like, what was like the tech life scene like for you with your friends and family? Like, what things were going in your head? Like, you're at Redwood, they're working in tech. What was the perspective of tech for you back then, John?
It was, so yeah, the perspective was, it was, you know, this is a kind of like flashy, you know, high tech, you know, the what kind of work,
yeah,
you know, working in these like big like skyscrapers, working in Tel Aviv, you know, kind of very, I should say that my, the, when I was at Redwood, I had a, it was like a long commute. It was like a 45 minute commute each way, which I know to like, maybe some of your listeners isn't so far, but in Israel's a very, very, very small country. And like, you know, the place I was working wasn't far away. It just took a long time on public transport or if I drove. And so like, you know, kind of, I saw people working in Tel Aviv and they're like, I walk 10 minutes to my office, or I jump on a scooter and I'm here there in 8 minutes. And so it's like this, you know, this like really like kind of just very cool, very hip, very like things are going on. Everyone knows each other kind of thing. We went to this cool place for lunch and that cool place for lunch. And we went out for drinks and like, I'm kind of like stuck away in a different industry, in a different
world to an extent.
Don't have
right?
Yeah, literally different world. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't have, you know, you don't kind of have all those things. So it's always like, you're looking on with, yeah, with jealousy a little bit. It's like, you know, they get the, you know, the, you know, nice lunches and they get nice perks and they get taken away here and there. So yeah, it was always kind of, yeah, I'll not ashamed to admit it, like a little bit jealous and yeah. But then like, you know, you kind of get into it and it's, it is that, but it's also, you know, it is hard work and it's always a bit, you know, not sure the correct word, you know, not chaotic, but like, you know, startups, things
fast move
fast, like, you know, fast paced. Yeah, really fast paced. Yeah. Things are changing all the time. But it's good. It keeps you on your toes. Like, change is hard, but it's good because it's, you know, again, coming back to like, you know, learning and doing different things. It's, yeah, it's a good way to test yourself.
And it's like the fast paced bit because, like, my sister, Tash, she worked for local authority for a number of years. She's now made her step into tech and she's now an AE for Microsoft. She, like we catch up every now and then, and then she's always telling me about like deals that are going on and like teams joining and like meeting customers, and she, and I can always see this element of stress in my sister's voice. And I said, it's fast, isn't it? She was like, yeah, compared to like local authority, it just moves at like light speed. And I said, don't be worried that if you feel unnerved by it, because it's natural. That's exactly what I was feeling when I was in tech. I was like, I don't understand none of this. Why are people talking so quickly? Yeah, they want this by this day, by Friday. Like, how the hell do you move at that pace? And I think coming from like a different world, it can be very unnerving, especially for, you know, a lot of SDRs and BDRs that are coming into tech, where this is their first job or they're transitioning from another profession and then coming into this. And I've seen it in lots of like hundreds of coaching calls, like the overwhelmed look on their faces. But kind of like coming back to you with that application bit. So it's really cool the way that you were applying for it. And then, you know, some people, the limiting belief would be, I'm probably not going to get it. But you were thinking in a different way of like, what happens if I do get it and I do get into that job? But then you're saying, well, Joel, I haven't even got the job yet. Like, I haven't even got the interview. Like, I think having an element of worries is a healthy thing because you're then reflecting and asking, what's the eventuality of this actually taking place? I remember when I went in for the interviews, I used to think, I'm probably not going to get it. And then getting the surprise of, yeah, you've got the job now. And I was like, oh, shit, like, really? But What advice would you give to that person that's, you know, maybe questioning themselves of coming into this, doing that application? And, you know, if they do get the job, then like, what advice would you give to that person?
Well, getting the, like, yeah, I think once you can, you've obviously been given the job for a reason, and that person that hired you, like, sees something in you. I think that's always really important, because like whenever I interviewed, like even when I first started Riverside and I was like, I have no sales background and never kind of done really any selling. And like on my first day, and I was like, what am I doing here? Like,
yeah,
like what have they seen that I don't see in myself that thinks that I can do this job? And, you know, and you obviously, you know, and you get taught and then you pick things up very quickly, you know, and obviously like, you know, and our kind of onboarding 3 years ago is very different to the onboarding that now, obviously, you know, 3 years, it's, you know, a lot more,
yeah,
you know, it's very structured. So that's part of working in and kind of the freedom you get, you know, a tech company, you kind of get to, this is the role, but you kind of can sometimes make the role yourself, or you can, sometimes you just have to figure things out yourself. And that's also like how you sink or swim. It's like, if you can figure these things out, because sometimes it's good not to be, you know, not to be told like, this is how you do something, or this is kind of how we do it, like, go do it. But if you do it a different way and it works, great, like, go with that. But kind of one piece of advice I would give to people that once they start, especially in sales, is it's okay to be nervous and it's okay to be stressed. Because I also think that stress of hitting your quota and hitting your targets gives you like a baseline of like, I want to do well and I care. But don't let it, like, once it kind of overwhelms you, you need to kind of take a step back and slow down, go speak to somebody, go speak to your manager, go speak to a coach, go speak to a mentor, speak to somebody else in sales, like, because the stress is just going to overwhelm you and you're going to burn out and you're going to be finished. Like, but I think it's good to be stressed. It's okay to be stressed.
Yeah. It's normal.
It's normal. Yeah. I'm stressed. Like, I want to hit my quota because I want to do well, but I don't let it, like, I don't let it get like too bog me down. I'm like, I trust my process. If I have a quiet week, I have a quiet week. Next week will be better.
Yeah.
I don't know if it will, but I'm thinking it's going to be better. And if I put that out into the world,
you have mine.
Oh, yeah. It happens. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think in sales, especially on kind of the prospecting side, it's a roller coaster. You can have, a few weeks ago, I had like a really good Monday. I had a lot of replies, was able to book a lot of meetings. And then the rest of the week, nothing. And it's just like, is booking a lot of meetings on one day better than having them drip throughout the week? Or would you rather have like one a day?
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same, but it feels, you know, does it feel better? So yeah, it's a real roller coaster. But I tell you know, some of the new people that start, like, it's a roller coaster of emotions. Mm-hmm. It's great when you book meetings and you get really high, but don't get too high.
Yeah.
When you get nothing,
crickets.
Don't get too low.
Yeah.
Stay level. Celebrate the wins, but don't like worry too much about the losses, and stay level, and hopefully it will equal itself out.
I love that. Solid advice there, Joel. Yeah, you're right. It is a roller coaster of emotions, and the term that I've learned this year, like doing a little bit of stoicism, is that happiness is a fleeting feeling, right? So when things are good, they're good, but then there'll be bad times. But equally, good times don't always last, but bad times don't always last. Like, it's up and down, up and down. But I think, like, definitely points that I can resonate with, like, you know, coming into a startup, like you said, Riverside, what it was 3 years ago is completely different to what it is now with onboarding. And I think sometimes when you're joining a startup, it's very scrappy, or it's not defined, there isn't as many processes, some things haven't been figured out, and you're the person that's figuring it out and then documenting it. And then when the new person comes on board, you then show them, like, well, this is what we do. And then that person could either add something new to the mix, and then it gets more defined as we go along. And you're right, you know, it's normal to feel stressed. That's kind of like what I say to my sister, like, when we have conversations and there are high stress moments, I'm like, Tash, yeah, this is normal. Like, kind of get used to this. It's not the end of the world. Like, you know, this is what happens in sales. But I also think, you know, asking for help is something definitely we should be doing more of, because sometimes I used to sit there, if I didn't know the process, or I didn't know how to respond to the email, or, you know, I'm being ghosted by the prospect, I would sit there thinking, I want to do this, I want to fix this, but now I'm worrying because I'm not hitting my target and I don't want to look an idiot in front of my boss. But I learned that by asking for help is a sign of strength and maturity. So asking, like, how do I get past this? Because another thing that I learned this year is every problem you have has already been solved. You just have to find the people that have solved it before you. So mentors, coaches, people, you know, I'm always looking to learn. And also, like, with tech sales, like, when I'm coaching a lot of people that come into the profession for the first time, you know, they get a lot of training. So it's like how they cold calling and, you know, creating emails and templates and DMing people on LinkedIn. And where there's this element of, but nobody's getting back to me. Like, I've really crafted this email. Like, I gave a great opener on my cold call. And I'm like, you have to kind of let go of the expectation. Just because you've done something really well, people don't have to respond. People don't have to get back to you. There is, but they're like, yeah, but I, you know, I messaged them and, like, this is what we do in our industry, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what you do, but that doesn't mean people have to buy from you or people have to listen to you.
Yeah.
But it's learning the art of how do you connect on a human experience? How do you get somebody interested? How do you not come across as salesy, but genuine? That's the bit that nobody really teaches you in sales training per se. And that's, like you said, you just have to experience it and go through it. Because, like, I sometimes look at some of my old prospecting emails. I've got, like, some of them in my LinkedIn DMs from, like, 2012, and I look at it, I was like, dude, you know, what the hell were you doing, bro? You were sending, like, an essay to, like, CEO. Some booked, some did.
Yeah.
Then it worked. But I was like, I was training this person the other day on how to send LinkedIn DMs. And I said, the analogy that I use is, Joel, if I send you an email from my inbox, that's kind of like the office. It's prim, it's proper, it's articulated, grammar, punctuation is all clean. And then, you know, sometimes what I used to do was if I didn't get a response in email, I would copy that email into a LinkedIn DM and then send that with a hope. But, you know, most 9 times out of 10 people wouldn't reply. And I was saying to this person, I said, well, if inbox is the office, then LinkedIn is the water cooler. That's where people go to chat and procrastinate and gossip and doom scroll. So why would somebody want to see the office in their LinkedIn cooler DM? So we're, like, saying, making it short, snappy, kind of like a WhatsApp message. And then the person said, yeah, it's a little bit more casual. And then I showed him all the replies and I said, so here's an example of Neil's. I reached out to a guy called Peter, who's a CEO. Can't say the name of the company. But I showed him, like, the original DM I sent him in 2012, and it's like this long. It's like 3 paragraphs long. And then 5 years later, I sent Pete another DM, very like a WhatsApp. Hi, Pete. How you doing, dude? How's life? How's the family? What's going on in business at company? Very short. And he just responded, and the CEO just responded with these long paragraphs. Neil, good to catch up with you. And I said, look at the difference, right? But I said, back then as an SDR, I didn't know. But then I had to go through and understand people buy from people that understand them. But these are the things where, sorry, I'm harping on. The point is, just because we do something great after our training, it's like kind of getting the degree, right? You get the degree, you get all the theoretical things and the frameworks and how to practically, like, put things together, but it's going out into the world and then actually interacting with people and doing it practically day to day. I don't know. How does that land with you, John?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. And it's kind of something that I want to come back to. Like, when I, you know, getting into kind of sales, I was very apprehensive of this, like, Jordan Belfort kind of style. Like, it's very cutthroat and very, like, you're on your own. But, like, I will say, like, Riverside, like, we've cultivated an amazing team, like, kind of all the way through the president, you know, from BD to the AEs and even the CSMs. Everybody's there to help each other. There's so much knowledge sharing that goes on, like, within, like, the whole team itself, and then within individual teams. Like, there's so many Slack messages, like, oh, hey, like, I use this on a process. I use this technique and like, this worked for me. Like, here's what I did. I was like, oh, great. I'm going to try this. And, like, so that makes you feel good. It makes you feel that, like, everybody is going in one direction. They're not all kind of in their own silos, just out to hit quota, get money, and that's it. They kind of care about, you know, themselves, but also care about, you know, each other. Because obviously, you know, if everyone succeeds, like, we go, you get there a lot faster. So, like, that's also, you know, kind of, you know, just like a knowledge and, like, and just, you know, asking for help also, like, hey, I've got a prospect that has ghosted me. They don't have any, you know, have any techniques. And, you know, someone says, I tried this and I tried that. And like, I went to their house and knocked on their door. I sent them I sent them lunch one day. You know, there's all these, also you hear on LinkedIn, like all kind of stories that people tried. So yeah, just like, I think, yeah, just shout out to the team for that. That's excellent.
And like, you know, as somebody who's like a customer and a user of Riverside, I fanboy on all the Riverside posts. Like Kendall, like I say to this, I put out a post about her a couple of weeks back. She's like kind of the glue to the creator community. Like, you know, I'm on a Facebook page where I see she's constantly sharing updates. And then when I see your VPs and I see your C-level, I see yourself putting out posts. I sometimes used to sit there and say, oh, I wish I could work for them. You know, like I get to podcast and get to do sales. Like, that would be like a match made in heaven. So obviously like when Kendall introduced yourself and I was like, yes, I get to meet somebody from the sales or the Riverside crew and I get to bring them onto the show. Like it made me like, so I'm really, really, you know, grateful. But you're right. It's that culture. Cause I've kind of been watching as a sales, you know, fan, like I've been watching Riverside grow for the past couple of years, like using the platform and the updates. And I think what's really cool with the crew, with yourselves or at Riverside, it's, you know, when I see LinkedIn posts from yourself, your C-level used to share updates as to what worked and what didn't work, how other people are using the services. And like, I'm a big believer in the creator economy. Like I'm a content creator and I now proudly say I'm a content creator. Whereas before I was like, yeah, I create a bit of content. I do a podcast. Like when you network with people, oh, so what do you do? Yeah, well, I work in sales. I'm a sales coach and I run a podcast. But now I'm just like, yeah, I'm a sales coach. I've got a podcast. It's on Riverside. Have you tried Riverside yet? And when I meet with a lot of other sales pros, this is me being a little bit arrogant. When they want to do a podcast with me and they're like using Zoom, I'm like, yeah, I used to use Zoom, but I've recently found this really cool plan. And when I've had them come onto my show and being like a guest as you're being right now on this experience, they're like, yeah, this is pretty cool. You know, this is high tech. And I'm like, yeah, here's my referral code and my link. Go get it in. But yeah, big, big, big fan. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on board here to Joel. So again, as we're coming towards closing this chapter, a question that I love to ask my guests is if you could go back to that, you know, young Joel Perlman out in Hull, and he's just about to embark on this journey that you've been through, what three bits of advice would you give to your younger self, Joel?
Three bits of advice. Don't go to university. Go out into the world. Really, really think that it was a great experience and I made some lifelong friends, but I feel like I could have been, yeah, I feel like not a waste of time. I think that's a bit harsh, but like nobody, like I said in the kind of beginning, nobody cares if you have a degree anymore. It's like, and now there's so much more you can do, you know, you don't need like, you know, those like kind of paper qualifications. People want either life experience or real world experience. And there's so many kind of things you could have done. So that's one piece of advice. Two, another piece of advice. Invest your money better. Like don't waste your money. And three, let's see, look after your health better.
I think some solid bits of advice there, Joel. So like, again, university can be a path for some. Like my sister said to me, you don't have to go to university, but it can be definitely an experience. Investing money, 100%. Yeah, I really wish I invested my commissions that I earned way back when. Or I think it's more knowing how to better manage my money and also budget it as well. And health,
exactly.
Wealth, especially working in the world of sales. It takes a lot of your mental capacities. Try not to burn yourself out by taking breaks, speak to people, share your problems, and always be learning, right? So absolutely love that. And again, are there any shout outs? We've done quite a few, but are there any shout outs you want to give out today, Joel?
I think I've shouted out already, but my wife, she's my rock, my cheerleader. She's my everything. Hopefully she'll listen to this. And everyone at the Riverside team, they've made like my transition into sales like very easy and probably made it, not impossible to go anywhere else. But when maybe I go elsewhere, very difficult because the experience probably won't be anywhere near as good.
I love that. Thank you so much. And yeah, again, a massive shout out to the Riverside crew, and also for Kendall for always being the glue, making this introduction, making this episode possible today. A big shout out to our listeners, watchers, and subscribers. And as a general reminder, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a rating, share this episode with anybody that you feel could benefit from it. And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, what would really help us out, because again, we don't ask for anything in return, but just giving us a like, comment, and subscribe helps with the algorithm to then help get this chapter out there for more people to be inspired. My name is Neil Bui, and I'm your host on the SDR Disco Call Show. Joel Perlman, it's been an absolute pleasure and honor having you on board. I wish you a great weekend with the kids and the wife, and obviously getting those leads for podcast content creators like me to come and join with Riverside. But happy selling, sir.
Thank you, Neil.